بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله تعالى speaks about the كفار وللذين كفروا في عزة وشقاق. They are steeped in self-glory and in a path of opposition. Truth is clear. There is no ambiguity. مَسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنْفُسُهُمْ. You can see it, it's right. But then, what stops them? The thing that is stopping them is this self-glory, self-admiration, their own arrogance, that's what's stopping them. So now in a very unique way, Allah Ta'ala explains this point, he moves over, and he talks about the story of the disputants. Hal ataka naba'ul khasm. The first three explain, sometimes you are getting to a point, right? But you can see the audience are not seeming to be agreeing. Not agreeing. But the more you're talking about it, the more they're coming on to the defense. The defense is now becoming more and more aggressive. But you want to give them an occasion to reflect, see things in perspective, understand it. So one way to do that is just move away to a different theme. You're talking on one subject, then you moved away onto a different theme. So when you moved away to a different theme, and then you came back to the subject, now his mind is cleared up. When his mind is cleared up, now it's expected the response will be better. So now, Allah Pak first speaks about them, فِي عِزَّةٍ وَشِّقَاقٍ. They're steeped in that self-glory. So sometimes the thing that will be an obstruction, obstacle on the way is when I've got a certain status in community, then what will people say? That I've moved on, what will they say? That up to now, you were in a path of ignorance, that's what people will say. So then I'll lose my whole status, I'll lose my recognition, my integrity, all will be lost. Shaitan then plays with the person's mind. I'll move on, what could happen? What name will I be left with? What will be my reputation like? What will people think of me? So people attach a lot of importance to their status, not realizing that when you humble, right, and you come to terms with the truth, you humble yourself and you came to terms with the truth, then that brings about real reputation. Rather than you being stuck in your pride, in your ego, in your arrogance, you humble yourself, and you humble yourself, then you came to terms with the truth. For the truth, now you're taking, you're accepting it. See, I'll come back to the story. Hada Pak and Nabu al-Qasim. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, right? Fanada fi zulumat. So, in the layers of darkness, the veils of darkness, and he's crying out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So Allah Pak likes this. La Allah ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min az-zalimin. But do we try and find out, work out, why did he use this approach? He uses this approach because the beginning of your accent, the beginning of your progress, beginning, what is the beginning? The beginning is remorse and admission of guilt. Now, you don't want to talk about the admission of guilt and just carry on. It doesn't work like that. But if there's an admission of guilt, there's a confession, there's a remorse that is expressed, now you open your passage. That obstacle, the obstruction that was on the way, that has been removed. When that's removed, now the passage is clear. But it's not, leave this thing aside and let's carry on. So the passage is not mine, it's Allah Pak's. Even in the Uhud, when whatever happened, happened, Allah Pak teaches us the lessons. This happened, why? وَلْيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And Allah Ta'ala wanted to purify the believers. وَلْيُمَحِّصَ. Let's look at the words. وَلْيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So the idea was to purify them. So they had to go through a little trial for their purification. So in the layer of darkness, and what is the dua of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam? Allah ilaha illa anta subhanak. See that? So there's a confession of guilt. He says, Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Isn't there confession? Isn't there remorse? And then Allah Ta'ala says about him again, فَلْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. Right? So he's thrown overboard. He's thrown overboard and the big fish just swallows him. فَلْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. In that state, Allah Ta'ala praises him. But he says, وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. Was blaming himself. So other tafsirs, but this is the more prominent tafsir, وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ, was blaming himself. But I did a wrong. But now, you also understand that different servants are treated in different ways. Now let's look at the story of Yunus alayhi salam again, but look at it holistically, right? His people are steeped in disbelief. For years he is preaching to them, but they are not moving away. Right? And it's not just a day or 2 days, but years of striving, working with them, but they stuck, they bent on their ways. Yunus alayhi salam departs. He departs, and he warned them about an impending punishment. Now they can see the asar, the signs of that punishment. Then when they saw that, straight away they were making tawbah, istighfar, etc. So when they did that, kashafna anhu, khizya dunya, we just moved the punishment away. They just had to do this much, and we moved that problem, that whole thing that was just supposed to fall on them, we moved it away. Right? So these people were steeped in shirk and disbelief, polytheism. And they showed remorse, and straight away Allah Ta'ala, here the man is showing remorse, but فَلْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. In spite of him showing that remorse, in spite of him accepting his mistake, مُلِيمٌ, right? He's accepting, but he had to go through this. So what we understand, that Allah Ta'ala would treat different servants in different ways. So Yunus alayhi salam, your maqam is too high. And because of your maqam and your position, we will treat you differently. You will have to remain enclosed in his belly for such a long period. Either 3 days, 7 days, or some say 40 days, whatever the period. But you will have to remain. Here, simultaneously, these people are making tawbah and istighfar. Allah Ta'ala turned it away. And here, he's making tawbah and istighfar, but he had to go through this. And Allah Pakh says it again, لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُصَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِيثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Had he not been making tawbah, istighfar, tasbih, etc., he would have remained in that state. Can you see that? Because Allah Pakh wanted to accept him. He said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكْ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ. So we wanted to elevate him, we wanted to accept him. When we accept him, then he is going to be a level above the others. he's not just ordinary. He's not just the ordinary folk. He's someone above everybody else. When he's someone above everybody else, the Nabi Sallam also had to say, لا تفضلوني على يونس بن متى. Don't count me to be superior than Yunus alayhi salam. See that? Well, the reason the ulama will give will be different. Reason will be that sometimes when you're making a comparison, right? He's better or he's better. He's greater or he's greater, right? So in drawing a comparison, you're going to run someone down. So now me, I like this Imam Sahib's qiraat. That one, don't talk about him. That's why I like this one, yeah. But very discreetly, what are you doing? You're running someone down. I know it and you know it. When you're going to draw that comparison, you're going to run someone down. When you're going to be running someone down, right, is that the right thing? So, when you're going to be drawing a comparison between Anbiya alayhi salam, then you're risking your faith. You're risking your iman. Because you're going to put someone down and you're going to exalt someone else. Is that going to be safe for your iman? Anbiya, you see, you believe in all. Kullun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli. La nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusuli. Saying it, you don't discriminate. Believe in all of them, right? No discrimination. And then, the next moment, then you're saying, oh, he's like this and he's like that. Then, come on, Tamir Sahib Rahmat has got a whole bayan on this thing here. And people will draw comparisons with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Musa Alayhi Salaam. And see, but Nabi said, Inna Allaha Ma'ana. And Inna Ma'i Rabbi. See. So now, they draw this comparison, but they don't realize that they are running someone down. But in a very discreet way, you're running someone down. Now, is that the right thing to do? And especially when there are personalities that are involved, you can't do these things here. So, our elders, when they describe this, how they describe it in a very unique way. They say, all the Anbiya alayhi salam are excellent. Right? All are excellent. There is no deficiency, no defect in their excellence. Yes? Rasul-e Pak Sasam is superior in excellence. But now, did they run down anybody? They're all excellent. At the level of excellence, there's no defect, no deficiency in any one of them. But as Rasul-e Pak Sasam is at a level above all. Right? So they won't run anybody down. So we're talking of now Yunus alayhi salam. And what is the point of acceptance? Yes, فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. When Allah Ta'ala ushered him in, then what was the point of ushering, admitting him? وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. Can you see that? That he's blaming himself, he's remorseful for what has happened. And he didn't throw up an excuse, Allah Ta'ala, but these people are doing even worse things, and you're not doing them anything here. In fact, just they made a little bit of istighfar, tawbah, they cried for that few minutes, and you just turn that whole punishment away from them. كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ الْخِزْيَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. For that little bit of remorse they showed, they gone, wiped out. And here you treat it totally different. Why, Allah? What is this? Did he say that? He didn't say that. So he knows also he's above them, right? And if he's above them, then the trial will be more serious. And when the trial is more serious, that means Allah Pak loves him even more. Allah Pak loves him more, then he will be treated in a different way. See? You ask for water, right? In simple terms, Hasanatul Abrar Sayyu'atul Muqarrabin, right? So you ask for water, right? And there was no real response, but your little child, maybe 3 years of age, he fetched the water. En route, he dropped all 3/4 and he brought it. Hey, mashallah, my darling, my child, you pat him, you compliment him, right? The 3-year-old child, but he did this, right? He's so smart, but see how cute. Just 2.5 years of age, and see what a thing he's done. Whereas, you're not looking at the half glass that he's dropped. You're not looking at that, right? But now the child is 23 years, not 3, 23, and he split half and came. I'm going to treat him same. Yeah. So here you count it as a hasanat, and there you count it as a sayyat. What was the reason? So you are at a different level. When you are at a different level, then you're supposed to be behaving in a different manner. Why did you misbehave? So that road opens out with admission of guilt. Embarrassment, you're feeling embarrassed, you're feeling remorseful. What have I done? You know, you're shouting yourself. See, Muhuva Mulim is shouting himself. Why even did all these things here? And the mistake that he did, also that mistake, that error, was not nafs driven. One is wrong, that's driven by nafs and shaitan. So it was not something of his nafs that drove him to that, no. See, when we commit a wrong, then the catalyst in the wrong that we commit is nafs. I saw that car now, and if I only had that car, you know. Alright, a little bit, I'll just play with the bank a little bit. I'll make tawbah after that. So that's our mind. So, what drives us to the wrong? The nafs drives us to the wrong, right? So, the mistake that the Anbiya alayhi wasalam make is not nafs driven. It's a mistake in the calculation. In the reasoning, there was a little bit of mistake. So the mistake there was, these people are not repenting, they're not coming onto tawheed, they're not coming onto, not abandoning the shirki practices. And now, he tried them for such a long period, and they're not just repenting. They said, no, the punishment is going to come within such a period, I'm leaving. So the mistake he made was he left without divine instruction. So the Anbiya alayhi wasalam was so calculated that the harakat and the sakanat, the movement and the being stationary, all is governed. You can't even move. Can you see that? Rasul-e-Pak, look at his hijrah, right? Most of the Sahaba-e-Kiram had left already. Umar, everybody left. But he can't leave. Then he comes and announces to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, قَدْ أُذِينَ لِي فِي الْهِجْرَةِ أَصُّحْبَتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Can you see that? So his movement is all governed. They can't make a move. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala blesses this type of maqam to our great senior awliya as well. Right? Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi, when he left South Africa, or it was London, one of the two, right? So he's asking Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi, Mufti ji, bataya kya hua? So a murid knows his shaykh. I used to see Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullahi sitting in the presence of Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullahi. Right? And Mustafa, around the time, was 81, he passed away. It was 81. So he can be sitting there for an hour, and he must be over 70 years of age at that time. Because Mustafa passed away 96. And this was 81. So let's calculate, what was the age difference? 15 years. So what was his around? Approximate. His age was of 95 when he passed away. And 96. 81. And 81 is sitting like this, 1 hour. And a lot of respect, like this. And no movement. Absolutely no movement. I just want to show you one experience, right? You know, in namaz you say, قُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. In the tafsir they say muti'in, right? Muti'in, obedience. But some of the explanations of qanitin is, there must be absolutely no movement in your limbs, even your eyes. Absolutely no, you're still. As though the meaning of qanitin is absolutely still. No movement on your face, on your feet, on your hands, on your itching, scratching, absolutely nothing. As though your whole dhyan, your whole focus is just Allah Ta'ala. Then, deliberately you don't allow your mind to turn away. And sometimes the mind will go off, right? But deliberately you will not allow your mind to go. So that's called qanitin. And I found that to be an excellent way to gain the focus and to gain the dhyan in namas. You know, you need to have the dhyan in namas. But to get that level of focus, then that's an excellent way. Because there's absolutely no movement. No movement of the eyes, no movement of the head, no movement of the hands, nothing, absolutely nothing. So, then that is called Qumu Lillahi Qanitin. And you got that right, then within a very, very short period, then you get the istihzar and the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you. But then, that little effort is that remain absolutely still. Remain absolutely still. Coming back to the story. So, the murid will know his sheikh, and he'll know how to speak to him, right? We will hear the story, and when we hear the story, we'll try and imitate. And imitation is wrong, that's where we go off, right? So, sometimes, may batang, say, show you. May kehrao, I'm asking you, tell him what happened. May batang, say, show. So, kehrao. Then he said, unko poocho jisne aapko bheja. Ask him who has sent you. The sheikh just melted, just crying one way. Yes, the fact of the matter is this. Mera aana jana kabhi uski idaad ke baghair nahi hoti. I wait for the signal from Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then I move. So Mustaf had to say this. Mustaf's maqam was like that. Some things he could perceive, we couldn't perceive. When he would sit by the Shaykh Hamdallah, he would say, I see a face more radiant than the sun. I can't even raise my eyes like that. So he's seeing something what we can't see. So he says, unko poocho, jisne usko yahan bheja. So you see these maqamat, these positions, right? And how Allah Ta'ala elevates you. But that beginning is this admission. Have that heart to admit. This morning some people had come for advice. So, whatever Allah puts in the mind, Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullah said, Allah walo se taluk iksir, approximate words. That taluk, that relationship with Allah wala is extremely effective. Iksir, very effective. Basharte ke dil mein kisi kisam ka khar khasha na ho. That was the word. There mustn't be any khar khasha in the heart. Otherwise it's very, very effective, very powerful. So now, they asked the Mawlana Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi, what's the meaning of har khasha? What is the meaning of har khasha? Because now the whole thing is subject to that har khasha. That har khasha is off the path and then you're progressing. So the har khasha means that when the Shaykh is instructing something, then the mind mustn't say, why is he saying this? How can he say this thing here? Who told him to say this thing here? Where did he get this information from? How did he say this? So there mustn't be any type of reservation and apprehension in his instruction. When he's instructing, then heart of it is absolutely open and clear. Now he's saying something, and you can see what a clear passage. You can just say it. The as dil khazat bal dil rezat. It just came from the heart, and it got to the heart straight away. But otherwise, to see these things here, they create the obstruction. Hazrat Hamza used to say, ke ye suluk ka rasta bahut hi nazuk aur bahut hi latif hai. Possible words, right? This path is extremely delicate, very sensitive. Very, very sensitive. Aur kis qadar barik, kaise latif? Malaika se bhi zyada latif. One is the malaika, and you can understand the level of purity. So this path is even more pure than this. Even more. Delicate, more fragile. Now, sometimes just one sentence, one word, right, and that one word can break it up. Now, you may think how. And it's a fact. Some yesterday or the day before, some alim is complaining, right? Some woman came to see his wife. Whatever. Sometimes, Antunna kasawahibi Yusuf, right? They come for, under some pretext, and they come for something else. So, no, we just came to see how you are and all that. But meanwhile, she's got a daughter, just came to size it up. So they came for some other reason, but they have to give a front, you came for this reason here. It happens, these women, that's their tales, that's their stories, right? So, this is one mulaqat, and it messed my wife's whole temperament got messed up. So what happened? So no, I'm married for about 25 years, right? That Mona is telling me. And we had such a beautiful understanding, such a beautiful relationship, right? Now, they came to visit, right? And they came to visit just 1-2 days ago. So, in passing, they said, alright, she said, you know, it's time up now, and my husband will come just now, and I need to get the lunch ready. Every day, you prepare the lunch. Saturday, Sunday, Friday, every day you prepare lunch. You know, what a big zoom it is. You get a mental breakdown just now. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you mustn't talk about these things here. No, up for 25 years you're doing everything right. That one mulaqat spoiled the whole mind. Whole mind is spoiled now. And how to rectify it is an effort now. But you see that one word, one sentence, and how it's messed up the person's mind. One. So it can break up the relationship between a spouse, right? Husband and wife. See the effect it can have on the sheikh and the murid. One sentence, one word, and it can mess things up. It creates a blockage. Now you have to go and bust that blockage. Now you think, it's a small word, I just said that, what, so what? But the see the aftermath, what happens? Before your heart was just taking, and now, your heart is not taking as it used to take then. So, بَشَرْتَكَ خَرْخَشَانَا. There's no blockages, there's no impediments. So, shaitan will definitely come and put those impediments in the path because he can't see you progressing. You can see this person is good. And he's going to take the sheikh seriously, he's going to fly. So now, why allow him to fly? Let's put the kharkhashas there. Let's put the blockages there. And then, what he's supposed to be getting in a day, it'll take him 30 years. He can't move, he's stuck. He can't move. He wants to move, he can't move. Because there's a blockage there. So, this first step is that confession. See, Yunus alayhi salam, immediately, فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. See, in that state also, he's blaming himself. He's showing remorse. He's showing regrets. Why did I have to do this thing here? Why did I behave like this? Though it was an error in calculation, in just that movement, slight movement, and the movement was done, books lillah, isn't it? Dislike for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. But it was without divine intervention. Just that without divine intervention, he did something, and there, see what happens. Then, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَيْنَا. But now, Allah doesn't want us, people like us, with naive minds and brains, to think anything less of Yunus alayhi salam. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا. Now we accepted him. So you just remain quiet. You don't say anything now. We embraced him. It was a trial. And the trial is proportional to his maqam. So you just remain silent. You take the lesson from there. You take what lesson you learn. You will learn the lesson that your progress is subject to your confession. Now, if I found it very effective, you know, within your mind, there is istighfar. Tawbah, istighfar. We are human, right? We are men. And all type of thoughts will crowd the mind. So a simple thing, Allah, forgive me. Forgive me. I was looking at Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu's halat. He's making istighfar 12,000 times a day. Or wo talib ilmi admi the, right? He was like a student all his life. And he says, Osani Habibi, Allah bi salasin. وصاني خليلي بصلاتي. One of the things was witr قبل النوم, to read a witr namaz before sleeping. Because he's a, like a student type of a person, he's going to be pulling the night in his studies and all that, whatever it is, and he may just miss out the witr namaz, so do the witr before sleeping. But now look at his personal, his life, that he's making 12,000 istighfar a day. Well, I found this, right? For a student, this is about the most effective thing, istighfar, cry to Allah Ta'ala, forgiveness. So ask for the purification, work for the purification, but support it with your istighfar. Because that ilm is a nur, right? And that nur has to go into a vessel. It will only go to that vessel properly if that vessel is right. It's going to be some pollution, etc. It can't go right. The ilm won't want to go there. So you want it, and you want it well, you want it to go to be grounded very well then. So we're talking of that. وَالْأَتَاكَ نَبَوُ الْخَصْمِ إِذْ تَصَوَّرُ الْمِحْرَابِ. They scaled over the wall of perhaps a chamber or something. Dawud al-Islam had a private chamber, perhaps he would retire, ibadat, etc. in that chamber. So these two people, disputants, they scaled over. Now it was a time that he was in his devotion, whatever ibadat, zikr, muraqabah, whatever, he was involved in that. And they came in, intruding, invading his privacy. Fafazi, I mean, obviously he got terrified, and now I got security, everything, and these people scaled over the fence, and they came in. And they came in addressing it, قَالُ لَا تَخَفْ, don't get worried. First words, لَا تَخَفْ. So the Lamai Kiram explained that, see, as you become an alim, you become a learned person, progressing in deen, then you must expect unruly behavior. وَقْت بِوَقْت, on time, out of time, people will say something, people will do something. So you need to have that level of endurance, accept it, finish. You better come, after this is my work, people will come, and they won't have a proper behavior in approaching me, etc., seeing me, my time, etc. They won't keep up to all this. So you keep yourself open. See that? They came, they intruded, invaded his privacy. But does the Quran Sharif say that he got upset with them, disturbed? You know, I got a time. There's time for everything. But all my time was just dedicated to you. Did he say that? He didn't say that. إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَفَزِيَ مِنْهُمْ. See how he behaved. This story, the rest of it I won't mention, this story, but let's cross over to another story of Dawud al-Islam. Because if I start the story here, then you will ask unnecessary questions. And I'm avoiding that you ask unnecessary questions, right? Leave it. So let's go to another story of Dawud al-Islam. Is urida alayhi bil ashi safinatul jiyad. So now this is the story of his son Sulaiman al-Islam. One is Dawud and one is Sulaiman al-Islam. Urida alayhi bil ashi safinatul jiyad. Now it's towards the evening and he's horses, right? Horses that he's got for jihad purposes, they are brought to him towards the evening. Safinatul jihad, swift on foot, swift in the foot, and safinat means well bred. Right? The breeding is done very well, well bred. They known for the well being well bred. But safinat, what it actually means, is a horse has got his 3 feet planted into the ground, and the fourth one is just resting a little bit. So they say that that horse is very well trained, and they also say that it's got a very well, it's composed. Temperament is very well composed. I don't need his confirmation on that. Because the tafsir says this. He made us support it, right? Do you want anything to add to that? Right. So the 3 feet are planted well, and the fourth one is just resting lightly. So that's called Safinath. Hatta tawarat bil hijab. Now he's inspecting it, right? And in the process of him inspecting it, he says, أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْرِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّي حَتَّى تَوَارَتْ بِالْحِجَابِ. So, one of his devotional practices was left out. Left out, and the sun already set. تَوَارَتْ بِالْحِجَابِ. In other words, the sun got into its veil, right? That means it set, right? So what was his immediate response? He says, أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْرِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّي. I prefer this to the remembrance of my Rabb. What? I prefer this to the remembrance of my Rabb. But I look at it in context, right? So these horses were for jihad reasons, right? So inspecting those horses wasn't a dini thing. Was it a dini thing or not? They must be in a good state, because you may be caught out in jihad at any time. Night, day, morning, tomorrow, today, any time. So they need to be in a good state. So him inspecting that horses, I see, is it a dini thing or not? But now, in the process of him examining and inspecting his animals, he had a certain devotional practice, how we say, wazifa or something to complete, right? He had it to be done before Maghrib. Now, he was so consumed in looking at that this practice was left out. Like you got a devotional practice, for example, to read a sipara after Maghrib. That's for example, right? And something came up and you missed out. Now that affected him so much, that he says, أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْرِ عَنْ ذِكْرَ رُدُّهَارِ. Bring those horses back. And he began to slaughter all of them. All of them. Wasam bisuqi al-ala. This is another tafsir, but let's give one tafsir, right? So now, there will be two questions here. And he slaughtered all those horses. Are they for jihad? And how can he do this? Well, it was his own personal property. What? It was his personal property, so you don't ask a question. Number two is this, that when he sacrificed them, he slaughtered them, then like we offer at Qurbani, in his Shariat it was permissible to offer a horse as a Qurbani. Like by us, cows, camels, goats, sheep, you can offer, right? But in his Shariat, he could offer even a horse as a Qurbani. So anything wrong in that? But now, that there's two lessons to be learned here. One is, you're connecting with Allah Ta'ala directly. And one is you're connecting with Allah Ta'ala indirectly. Now the zikr of Quran Sharif that you're doing, it was a direct communication, right? And inspecting those animals was a direct relationship or indirect. It was an indirect. So this must be given preference to that which is indirect. Direct and indirect. But the other lesson that we learn from this is also that you program your time. One moment for this, one moment for this. 1 hour for this, 1 hour for this. So everything is included in the program. Some people have just newly accepted Islam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would meet them after Isha. Sometimes after Isha. They are new in Islam, so they need some comfort. So Rasulullah saw them, but with a little bit of delay. They're waiting for him, and he made them with him. So he says, there was another audience that I had to attend to, and I missed out some of my recitation. So I completed the recitation, now I'm attending to you. There was another audience, I just completed that, but in the process, some of my recitation of the Quran Sharif was left out, so I did that recitation, now I come to you. Now you tell me, when there's a bray on, how many of the wazifa, Quran Sharif, zikr, talim, everything gets left out? So I will do it tomorrow. I've got mehman now, and we have to attend to them first. Are we fair to the Quran Sharif? Are we fair to the ma'amulat? In the words of Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi, he would say, yeh toh suluk ke saath bad suluki hai. That was his words. What? Ya to suluk ke saath bad suluki hai. You are not dealing with suluk in the manner that you are supposed to be dealing. That, you know, the kachra time, all your leftover time you are using for this. And your friends got the primary time. Primary time is your friends, you're entertaining, you're socializing, that's primary time, prime time. And kachra time for Allah Ta'ala. Is that right? I say, is that correct?
وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِهِ إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِدُوا فِيهِ.
When you're giving out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, they don't give things that are redundant, reject, etc. Don't give that. Defective, don't. Because if someone had to give you as a gift, redundant, rejected, now the thing is in the backyard, you're not worried about that car now. And now say, hey, you know, I've got a big heart, oh, take it, oh, you take it. It's not the right thing. The right thing would have been the new car that you bought, give it to him, fix his car and you drive that thing. That would have been the right thing. Because you're giving it the name of Allah Ta'ala. When you give it the name of Allah Ta'ala, then mimma tuhibbun, something that what you like. But now that's on the way. I don't say you're going to get a straw for that. But if you're going to give redundant things, then Allah will treat you like that as well. You know, one friend now, he's late now. So, he joined us book somewhere, he used to be. So he spoke about masail and all that. I passed him, inshallah. So he had a nice flourishing business. So now his zakat end came in, right? He's quite wealthy. So he would have to give about 500,000 or something in zakat. So he's telling me, you know what, I got that redundant stuff there, that flowing now, they're not wearing it. Can't I give that in zakat? So I told him, alright, if it is, there's someone that's going to be using it, and at the market rate, you know, market related, to give it, it's alright. But I told him, but Mulana, I'll never advise you for this. Mulana, but I will never advise you to do this. But my zakat will be done, isn't it? Yeah. I said, I won't advise you to do this. Because that which is a redundant stock now, you're giving that in the name of Allah Ta'ala. Right? You got married for the first time, right? And all that kachra, wahan, all that you're giving your wife. Hey, you know, I love you so much, all this wahan I'm giving you. All this kitchenware I'm giving you. I say, would she appreciate that? You're giving that in the name of Allah Ta'ala, then give something that you would like. La tayammamul khabees. So I told him, I won't advise you to do such a thing. He's insisting, so I can't get beyond that. But after that, his business just went down. You play this type of game with Allah Ta'ala. And then what happened to the business? It just went down straight. So when you're giving in the name of Allah Ta'ala, give something that is prime, something that you will like, something is appreciated, something is touching the heart. Give that in the name of Allah Ta'ala. So now we're coming back to the story here. He sacrificed all, right? Now, is there a precedent for this? Yes, there is a precedent for this. Hazrat Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu is performing namaz and something just distracted his namaz. So now, I don't need to keep this thing, I give this whole thing. Whereas that whole bagh, that whole orchard was in the precincts of the Haram Sharif. I said, that thing distracted me from Allah Ta'ala. And dhikri Rabbi, it distracted me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't need to keep this any longer. But now you see that relationship, how they honor that relationship. When they got that nisbat, then your whole behavior is different. Your whole outlook. Someone asked today, what is the meaning of nisbat? So this is the meaning of nisbat. When there is that nisbat, then nothing of the material will distract you. Shibli's story is quite prominent. He's the whole night now, his mind is telling him, Kutub Bakhila, you are a very big kanjus. Stingy. So no. See, in the mind there's two voices, right? If you want to do a wrong, so one part of the mind will say, do it. I say, but don't do it. Do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Look at the pond. Don't look at the pond. Look at the pond. Only for 5 minutes I'll look in. Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim. So, the mind will keep stopping you, right? Then it's dependent on who wins the fight. Now say it. No, don't say it. Say it, don't say it. Now the wife, I must tell her this much. No, but don't say it, man. I will tell these people that get married, you know, young people, 20, 22, I say, don't fight, please. Don't even tell her one good, bad word. Why? She did wrong, must tell her. So a lot of the young people are concerned, see, just now, at night you may need her, and you'll get, just now you'll get punctured, you can't do anything. So you just keep well, by, you keep well with her now. Night time, some hajat you got now, and you stuck up, you. She's standing, you can't move. Now for that little emotion, you want to give your emotions off, and the whole night you stand, you can't do anything. See that? You have to, when you're doing an investment, you have to see the long term, right? How's the long term investment or short term? Give everything off now, and then you go stuck up at night. So his mind is just having it. No, you're a bakhil. No, I'm not bakhil. So that fight is carrying on. See, there's two compartments. One is the nafs, one is the ruh. Sometimes I'll speak about it. But there's two compartments. And there'll be a struggle. It happens sometimes that Allah Ta'ala makes it such that the nafs becomes subservient. Then you just move. And otherwise, is inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu. That thing will have its way. Force you. Do it. Do it. Just do it. Just do it. See. Like how an animal. Animal doesn't have the rule like we have. That stops you. Just do it. They see some fruit that side, just jump, eat it. Won't that animal do that? So they don't have that what we have. So anyway, he's having that fight in his mind. So you need to fight, but fight yourself. What? Fight your nafs. Fight with people. Fight, but fight your nafs. Now that's a difficult one. To fight others is easy, but to fight yourself? Now these Buzuwana deen, you know, their lives are different. One child, one youngster, he used to come and test others here. But other people always look at him with ikram, respect, want shoes or take, go buy new shoes. One just take it. Like others spoiled him, right? And then he spoiled him so much that he was like a real, like a, you know, spanner in the work. Real spanner. People would shout him, well, you know, Hazrat is soft, he won't say anything. Why are you taking advantage? Eventually he passed away. When he passed away, Hazrat was very sad about it. He says, ab humara islah karne wala koi nahi raha. There's nobody to come and rectify me. Now this child, do this, I will do it. In the meanwhile, my ego was getting trampled. But now he's gone, so now who's going to come and correct me? Hazrat Shaykh Hadith Rahmatullah Alayhi. One boy was insulted, swear, everything, right? See, as you escalate, you will have someone insulting you, swearing you, abusing you, making sure you have all these things here. Yeah. So one day now, he's so caught up in all his problems, he came, I'd rather die, you know. You mustn't die, man. Don't die at all. Don't die, please. Because who will be swearing me? Who will be insulting me after that? At least you around insulting, swearing. So at least my ego, everything gets trampled down. But there's nobody to swear me, nobody to insult me, nobody to abuse me. Then there'll be nobody left. But now you see these people, how they look at it. They say, ah, you know, I must catch him. I'll get my mukab taras karunga. I'll put him in place. And how they look at life. You'll go away now, you'll die, so there's nobody left now. See how their minds work. So they're more concerned about their personal selves. That ego, that pride, all must be smashed down. Smashed down, broken down. We relate these stories. Why we relate? مَا نُسَبِّتُ تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُولِ مَا نُسَبِّتُ بِهِ فَوَدَكَ. To get your hearts bright and straight, strengthened. So anyway, now, they agreed now, by the morning, the first poor person I find, I'll pull out this 40 gold coins and I'll give it to him. So as he came out of the masjid, he saw a blind man. India, they call the blind man Hafiji. So that blind man, you know, I'll go and give that 40 gold coins to him. He's having his haircut and all that, blind. So we had to offer him that 40 gold coins. He said, oh, you brought it at the right time. I didn't have the fee to pay the barber. So just give it to the barber. He thought, no, that blind man, that since having his haircut, he doesn't know what it is. He said, Abhiji, ye toh 40 dinar hai, 40 gold coins. You know that. So I kaha nahi tha ke tum bakhil ho. Didn't we say that you are a miser? He's already told you are a miser. Hey, now he's finished now. He said, toh andar ke chog ko pakar liya. He caught the thief that was within. He wanted to give it to the barber. The barber says, see the barber, what he says, he says, when this man came and sat on my chair to have his hair done, I made a niyat that I am going to do it only for Allah Ta'ala. Now you think, now see the word is used, you think I'm going to spoil my niyat for this filth. This mere ke liye, main apne niyat ko kharab kar do. See what he meant, that relationship, even that barber bichara, what his relationship with Allah Ta'ala must have been. That word didn't mean anything. I say, oh, 40 gold coins. You stop the madrasa class for that. I think someone come to give a donation, 40 gold coins. Huh? What do you, you know, this is for the madrasa, bafad of the madrasa. What do you say that? But now what it meant to these people, that's the meaning of nisbat. When you connected that side, that this thing is like dirt, nothing. You don't feel anything about it. But your behavior will say it. Otherwise you can give a talk, you know, Mata'ul Ghurur, all you can say all about that. Janaha Ba'udatin, you can see all that. But that behavior is only subject to that nisbat that you have with Allah Ta'ala. When the ta'luq with Allah Ta'ala is so great, then you can behave like that. Otherwise you will say, hey, but you know, 40 dirhams, 40 dinars of gold coins that they give one at the time of nikah, only one they give. The dream woman of your life, you only give her one. And then say, give it to 40. Can you see that? So the Shibri Ahmadullah says, you know, that day, the way I felt embarrassed, I said, may Allah Ta'ala curse any person who put this to his heart. This thing is not worthwhile that you put it to your heart. If anybody puts it to his heart, may Allah Ta'ala curse. Allah Ta'ala.